gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Identity Guard. Making it okay to trust again, go to identityguard.com, won't ya? So, Bill Clinton's out of the hospital?
Yes.
And he's fine?
He's fine.
So I got bumped for nothing?
Oh, come on. He's going to be back at work on Monday.
I got bumped off the Ed Show and Larry King last night.
You did.
But the good news is President Clinton's fine. He'll be back on your wife in no time.
Hey! Ladies and gentlemen, that must mean it's Fridays with Bugle Sang.
It's not the first time Bill's bumped a woman.
Come on.
That was all over Twitter.
Come on.
Just
fill in the joke here about putting the stent in through his groin. Go ahead. Everybody, fill in your own joke.
That's what he said.
Hey!
All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's Fridays with John Fugelsang, all 3 hours live in the New York Bureau. How much fun is that?
We're celebrating Black History Month with John Mayer all day, folks.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. What did he say? His is a white supremacist?
Yes.
What?
But it has an N pass.
Yes. And we can talk about him because we have a cracker pass.
Oh, my. He is. That was a good. The Playboy interview, a great big addition of way too much information. Some things, inside voice. Some things thought bubble, John.
Yeah, it's the first time in Playboy a man has overexposed himself. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, boy.
Boy, is it, you know, I'm sorry he's losing all that credibility he built up dating Jessica Simpson.
Right.
You know?
So we'll have to get to those exact quotes, Chris. But what did he? So he said that he was asked, "Do you date black girls?" And he said, "No, my is a white supremacist."
Yes, but yeah. Every once in a while he has, you know, an N pass.
Oh dear.
N-word.
Did
pass.
He say that word?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Oh,
to a journalist.
Yes. Was he drunk? Was he high?
This isn't being recorded or anything, is it?
Oh.
Wow. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama, I don't know. Has been, unless there's a balloon or an ex-president or something, I will be on the Ed Show tonight with guest host Lawrence O'Donnell and then also on the Larry King Show on CNN. All right. So, I was drinking with our affiliate relations person, Chris.
Well, you'd have to.
the lovely and talented Jessica?
No, Ramona.
Ramona.
Who's in town from San Francisco, yes.
I love her.
And I just, it went on and on because I got bumped after one TV show after another.
Oh, no.
You started when you've been doing this a while, John, right? Last time I was in hair and makeup when I saw the silver balloon. And I was like, all right, I'm bumped. It was Balloon Boy happened right while I was in hair and makeup at the Ed Show last time, I think. So at least I was home in my jammies drinking when I was like, oh, all right. And you start to see the scroll, right? You're like, I'm bumped.
Well, so at least with Bill Clinton, you were bumped by an actual minor story and not a hoax minor story.
Yes.
So
feel
good about that.
No, I actually have to say we were talking about this. I'm actually relieved that he's fine because it starts to make you nervous when you're in the news business and I'm going, they're bumping all their programming on every show for the lab. Then I thought, oh, God, I hope it's not worse than we're being told because they kept reporting he's fine. He's fine and he's had the procedure and he's in good spirits and he'll be out tomorrow. And I'm like going, well, why is everybody bumping everything, you know?
Just in case.
Yeah.
Because, Stephanie, people don't talk about the fact that heart patients shouldn't take Viagra. And this is the closest we're going to come to talking about it.
See how John Fugelsang is, Chris, it's tragedy plus time.
I'm not saying
it's comedy because he's already been released.
I'm not saying it was tragedy. And I'm not saying he was taking Viagra. I'm just saying it's what you might call a teachable moment. That's all.
Mm. Doctors, as you know, they thread a tube through a blood vessel in the groin to the blocked artery.
Yes.
They had to get the beret out of the way first.
Stephanie!
That's an old Monica joke. Anyway, he had two stents inserted to open a clogged artery after being hospitalized with chest pains. So it was because of the snow? Your heart doesn't take a snow day that he was a day late because he called himself, right? He was having chest pains.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess he was supposed to go in the day before and he didn't because of snow. Which I don't, you would think a former president can get any, I couldn't get around, but you would think he could.
Well, so he waited a day, so he got bumped by a hospital, so don't you go complaining.
And he works in Harlem, which is right near Columbia, right?
Right, Presbyterian,
so,
where he, right.
Yeah, so.
You try being a white man getting an ambulance in Harlem sometimes.
Okay.
You just try it, Chris.
Okay.
John Fugelsang loaded for bear this morning.
He is. He's zippy this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. It's gold medicine.
John Fugel saying has a little bit of a cold. A lot of doctors, though, saying it's not unexpected to need another procedure. You know, it's something right. This many years after the original bypass, it's something that is... the one doctor said this kind of disease is progressive. It's not a one-time event.
And this sort of stent thing is done like a million times a year, you know, by doctors around the country. So it's very routine.
It's very
but
routine.
My favorite is all the fun facts about his former eating habits that come out. Like, for instance, here's some fun facts I did not know. Well, you know, he had voracious appetite, as we know.
Indeed he did.
He liked his McDonald's.
Two of his favorite Arkansas restaurants were known for their large portions, a hamburger the size of a hubcap and steaks as thick as fists.
Yes.
This is why you're fat. .com.
.com. Everything Bill Clinton used to eat is on This Is Why You're Fat.
Exactly.
Any man who jogged that much but still ate that many French fries was clearly not the master of his own appetites.
All right, that's all about. It was just the hubcap size burger. Okay. That's the only fun fact
but
I really have.
He's doing well, and this is a routine procedure, and it's a great sign that government-funded health care does work.
Yes. By the way, so Secretary of State Clinton left Washington and headed to New York to be with her husband. Could I have some love music, please? Chris, you remember we were back during the impeachment?
Yes.
Remember I kept screaming at everyone to leave them alone? It's their private business. You don't know what their marriage is really about. And I always said I think it's a love story of sorts. It may not be the one that you and I recognize, but
exactly.
I think they really do love each other. It's just that whole they're getting into their private business. That's why you call it a private life. So my friend that I was drinking with and then drinking a lot more once I got, every show I got bumped on, I was like a drinking game.
Like a guy in the airport. Like a first worlder in the airport complaining about snow missing a flight. Meanwhile, in Haiti, go on. Tell me more about your first world
problems. I'm not a Larry King. Oh, I work in a coal mine.
The problems celebrities have. Wow.
One long Bataan death march for you people.
I got bumped off of Larry King. How tragic.
Anyway, she had friends that went to a performance here recently, and the Clintons were there. Were right near them. I forget what it was. So the second the thing started, apparently Secretary of State Clinton fell asleep. Because, you know, she's got to be jet-lagged.
Sure.
Well, yeah.
It was during... But anyway, they thought it was very sweet that Bill Clinton kept turning the pages in her program, so when she woke up, she'd be on the right page.
Oh.
Isn't that touching?
It is.
And then when she woke up, apparently, I don't know if there was spittle or anything, but he said, I love you. And she said, I love you too. And they witnessed this, and this wasn't, they didn't think anyone was watching or whatever.
So she doesn't have to sleep with one eye open. It's nice to know that.
John, must you ruin everything beautiful?
I think they've got a great marriage. Listen, they've been married three times less than Rush Limbaugh, okay? They've got a wonderful thing
exactly.
going.
Exactly. All these people on their fourth marriage, it's like, well, they're still on their first marriage.
Exactly.
Whatever the flaws of it are. Whatever. All right. The important thing is, at least Hillary Clinton is not Rulalenska. We got off on a tangent yesterday, John.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just arrived in obscure reference town, and I don't know your ways.
I know. Yeah. Yes, I know. That's what Julie in Seattle writes. Mama, I hadn't thought of raspy 60s femme fatale sexy Rulalenska and her VO5 obsession in 30 years.
Yes.
Indeed, Mama, your mind is a veritable dusty museum, belching obscure yet disturbing subcultural 70s trivia. I don't even know how we got on that. You, Chris? You remember that? And this is her going, hello, I'm Rulalenska.
Yes.
And I don't know, she was a dancer or something. I don't remember.
She was a 60s femme fatale. She was mostly known in Britain. She did theater and, a few TV shows in Britain.
I don't know how that stuck in my brain from the 70s. Hello, I'm Rulalenska. Anyway, you have to watch the ad, sound clip attached, OMG, LOL, Rula sounds like a chain-smoking 300-pound drag queen.
She does.
And she sent along the actual ad. Here we go.
I'm Rulalenska. As an actress, I always have to look my best. So I'm glad that I found a truly great hairspray from America. It's called Alberto VO5. It holds an incredible 14 hours without stiffness or stickiness, so I can breeze through a busy day without worrying about my hair.
Win $25,000 in coupon money in Alberto.
That's
wow!
It. Yeah.
That was it?
Yep.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe how much mail I got on this, Chris.
Yeah.
From Rena, Steph, the best thing about Rula is that she didn't just say, hi, I'm Rulalenska, as if everyone would know who she is. She came flouncing down the stairs and said, hi, I'm Rulalenska, international film star. What? There must be a fan club out there somewhere. Yeah. That's the thing. At least because you're like going, and you are, and we would know you from, and you're like, oh, actress. Okay. International film star. All right.
The only thing she's known for in America is that Alberto VO5 commercial.
Ah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 14 hours with no stiffness.
Stickiness.
I'm fascinated to know how Rula snagged that deal. What, they were sitting around the ad agency table at the VO5 meeting.
Pia Zadora passed.
I know. Yes. No. Pia Zadora, no.
She says no.
Brenda Vaccaro, no. She smokes those Tampax on TV. We can't do that. No. I know. Rula Lenska.
Get me Rula Lenska.
Give me a deep voice actress. Brenda Vaccaro, no, she's taken.
No.
This month on Celebrity Fit Club.
That was a trifecta of my favorites, actually. It was Rula Lenska, mm-hmm. Brenda Vaccaro. Hi, I'm Brenda Vaccaro for Tampax Tampons. Remember that one?
Yes.
She did sound like she smoked them.
She made me buy them. And Pia Zadora.
The Tampax Tampons. We're not number one, but we're up there.
You know.
All right, see, that's a nice.
Rula Lenska?
Oh.
My point is, my other third, you know, is I lived my life trying to be the Harvey's Bristol Cream woman.
And we don't know who that is.
I wanted to grow up slutty like that, and that dream did come true. That dream.
Yes, it did. Well, congratulations.
You remember that hussy that would just call the day, hi, would you like to come over for some Harvey's Bristol Cream? She was just out of the blue. She would just call men.
Really?
Yeah, she was a hoe.
Wow. You do. Rula Lenska.
I wanted to be a slutty drunk, and that dream did come true. That's the only one.
Are you saying that women who call men for Harvey's Bristol Cream are hoes?
What the hell is Harvey's Bristol Cream anyway?
It's the greatest taste for all times.
It's good with a VO5 chaser. I understand.
Oh.
All right. Let's.
You know, Rula Lenska is more known now for being on Celebrity Big Brother in Britain a couple of years ago.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, and now from
Stephanie Miller.
She was on with Pete Burns, the former lead singer of Dead or Alive.
Imagine just between today, yesterday and today, how many hits to RulaLenska.com there have been. All right. I don't know. We need a cut of that, don't we?
Is there a RulaLenska.com?
I don't know. Find out for me.
All right.
You know, I think she kept in shape by dancing, but as you know, I keep in shape with P90X.
That's right.
By the way, yet another of the millions of letters I get. All right, I'm exaggerating a skosh, but I get a bunch.
Thousands.
Mike, in fact, writes, Steph, another success story. I was 228 when I started, 197 when I completed P90X at Works. Mike, the official Stephanie Miller Show tile guy.
Oh.
Who is also, a P90X user.
I could use a tile guy.
All right, you had a rough start with your P90X, but now you are flying. When you assembled your, what is it called?
It's my chin-up bar.
Yes, you wrenched your back.
You hang it in a doorway.
You didn't even start the program, but just putting it together.
No. I did one chin-up, and I kind of torqued my back out. But I'm better now, and so I'm back on the program.
So it was like when you were a Husky boy and you couldn't do one? When you couldn't do one chin-up when you were a child?
You had to bring that up, didn't you? I could not do one chin-up when I was a child. And I got teased mercilessly for it. But I can do them now.
Listen, a lot of P90X users write me and say there will be crying. There might be crying, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing you hear over and over and over again.
Yep.
It works. And that's the main thing you want from a workout program. I take my health seriously, but I tend to get in ruts. I've gotten overuse injuries. Not as pathetic as wrenching my back assembling it.
Mm.
However.
No, it wasn't assembling. I assembled it just fine. I did one chin-up.
And he got a paper cut on the box, okay?
We are flying now. Ugh. P90X is a fabulous home workout. It includes training, cardio, yoga. You are always working your body from a different angle, so you don't get bored. You don't get overuse injuries. How many of you have gym memberships you're not using, or you've got exercise equipment gathering dust? I'm going to be taking the P90X challenge. I challenge you, particularly my male hard bodies, to take the P90X challenge with me. I'm going to be posting my results online. Oh, dear, before and after pictures. P90X, by the way, check this out. You get a 90-day radio-exclusive in-home trial where you can try it for the full 90 days. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. I mean, what do you have to lose?
I want a P90X.
Well, I'll get you one by the end of the show.
Wow, I'd love one.
Hal Sparks has come out as a P90X user.
Yes,
I have a deal with my gym where they give me a free membership if I pose for all the before photos in their ads. So it's kind of a sweet deal. But the P90X... Sounds like a whole new world of failing at my own athletic prowess.
800-509-9438 to get your P90X. That's 800-509-9FIT. See how easy that is? 800-509-9FIT. Or go right to StephanieMiller.com. Click on the banner ad right now. 20 minutes after the hour. Lots to talk about. We have Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire. Bob King, who is the UAW vice president.
That's right.
Lots to talk about. Lots going on in the news with Toyota, and he's a Ford guy.
He is.
So we'll talk about the success of Ford and much more. Lots to get to on Fridays with Fugle Sang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek! I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Back again. Check, get your record. Let's begin. Party on, party people. Let me hear some noise. Stephanie Miller. In the house, jump, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here. A party over there. Wave your hands in the air. Shake the dairy, yeah.
Yeah, I think the John Mayer Playboy interview is going to be the shiny object that
my
we can't
favorite John Mayer song.
Stop talking about today. As much as we may want to talk about jobs and the economy and healthcare, whatever. Pardon me, John?
That's my favorite John Mayer song. Turn it up. Whoop, there it is, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Crack a please. Crack a what?
I used to, Chris, he was on my last TV show. I can't remember which one.
Was it the Pure Oxygen one?
Pure Oxygen, yes. Mm-hmm. He came on before he was big. He would come on and sing. And my friend was like, well, did he say stuff like that to you? I was like, no, it was a little fluffy morning television show. I didn't ask him things about his... What
did he
racist
say?
Racist group would your...
Yeah.
If your could be a racist group, which one would it be? I didn't ask him that.
His insensitivity is a wonderland.
Yes.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere, 26 minutes after the hour. John Fugle saying, how about this snow?
How about this snow?
It's everything in my life. It was started out beautiful and pristine, and now it's all turned to...
I know, it's all slushy.
Slush.
But 3 days ago, it was so white here, the Tea Party convention was envious. I mean, it was
hey!
Amazing. And now, I like it when it snows, you know, and it's kind of funny to hear on the news that Congress had to shut down for the entire week and do nothing on account of snow and the fact that it's Congress.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Yeah, well, we got so much less done than we normally do. House votes canceled all week. Chris, I think next week, too, right? The Senate was...
They're on President's Day recess next week, so...
How do we get that deal?
Exactly.
Federal government schools, restaurants, businesses remain closed, with some already looking at Thursday. Next Thursday is another day off? Slackers. Congress has already lost about half of February because of the two storms. This week is nearly a total loss, and next week Congress out of town for the President's Day recess. Oh, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the insurance money is here. Do we get Monday off?
No!
Yeah, I know.
See?
Why didn't
He's the man. He's the man keeping me down.
Why didn't I choose a career in banking or government? You know, those people get days off every other day.
He's the man keeping us down.
Yes.
He has a white supremacist. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see?
True.
But every once
You're
in a while, he has an N-word pass.
Oh, boy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you think there was even a moment of, oh, is that already out of my mouth? Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it takes 40 minutes to install the software that fixed the brakes on a Prius. A little longer to stop John Mayer's mouth.
Yeah.
And I think that as soon as he said it, he must have known. But the first day, it was just the waves of the misogyny he talked about, you know, talking about his sex life with Jessica Simpson. Now, I don't mean to be mean, but...
Have you ever met anyone that you just want to ink snort? You just want to quit your life so you can... You snort them?
Yeah, I have met people like that. Mm-hmm. What I don't do is talk about it in the popular media. You know, you can either try to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or you can slip it to Jessica Simpson. But you don't get to do both in one lifetime.
That was charming, wasn't it? He said if she started charging him to her, he would sell all those so he could keep paying her.
Wow.
He's got a way with women.
That is so, it's almost Valentine's Day. Mm.
Can we revoke his Caucasian pass?
All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Fridays with Fugle Sang as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know what I realized? He's the longest relationship I've ever had. Except, of course, for Doug.
Please do not say what Doug is.
Doug is my vibrator.
Mm-hmm. 34 minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 114 points. What? It is Fridays with John Fugelsang.
Indeed it is.
Keith in Illinois on the topic of the day. That is Rulalenska. And by the way, there is a Rulalenska.com and a Rulalenska Facebook page.
That's right.
Hello, Keith.
Hello. I've got a one little nugget. There's one thing that she's actually done that I've seen, and it was in the 70s. There was a BBC series called Rock Follies. It was a fictional series about a girl group that a guy was putting together, and she played the one that was trying to escape from a world of softcore porn to be a pop singer.
Oh,
and, and that's the only thing I saw, and then I saw the commercial. I actually kind of knew who she was.
Okay. Really?
So that puts me one up on something somewhere in my life, I guess.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, gang. I just wanted you to know, Steph, what you're in for on the Ed Show tonight. Lawrence O'Donnell and the right-wing tool, Bush's old speechwriter, Mark Thiessen, he's got that book out, Courting Disaster.
Yes.
How the CIA kept us safe and Obama's inviting the next attack.
Blah, blah, blah.
It got so out of control, the screaming on the show. Joe Scarborough grabs his microphone on his lapel and he's like, fade to black, go to black, go to black. And he's waving his hands. Lawrence O'Donnell is almost standing, yelling at this guy. And
I love him.
Guys are going to be on the Ed Show with you tonight. So I just want to let you know what you're in for.
It is love
so
it.
Awesome. Lawrence O'Donnell sitting there going, you were Bush's speechwriter. That's nothing to put on your resume. It was awesome.
He's awesome. He is awesome.
Chris, if you get a chance, I don't think the video is up yet, but if you get a chance to look on MSNBC, I'm sure it's going to be one of the most viewed. So.
Okay. I'll take it.
All right. Thanks, gang.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Yeah, he's and may I just say, many of my girlfriends have pointed out, dreamy as well.
Lawrence O'Donnell?
Yes.
He was back on Big Love 2 weeks ago, you know.
I heard that. He played somebody's lawyer.
Yeah,
I know.
He was on the first season, and he had a cameo 2 weeks ago.
I know. Wasn't he the executive producer of West Wing?
I believe he was. And
I think
consulted
he's
on that
just
show.
Amazingly multi-talented.
Well, you can watch for Lawrence O'Donnell to be one of the sharpest critics of Mitt Romney.
You know what he said to me?
Right.
Said,
that's true.
Yeah, I said to him, I ran into him at Arianna Huffington's, I hate to name drop, but Arianna Huffington's party last week that
Yes, I heard you went there. Yeah.
Yes.
I read about it on your Twitter and your Facebook and your homepage.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't go anywhere. I'm like John Mayer. There's not a thought that goes unshared. Electronically. All right. At any rate, but I was telling him how great he is filling in for Olbermann and others, and I said, you're going to get your own show. And he said, no, I won't do that. And I said, why? He said, because it will mean I have failed at everything else in my life. Ah, Lord, a man with options. All right, so...
by the way, I just got word that Rulalenska is known for something else here in America. She was in the original BBC radio play of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
No way.
Yeah, she was a voice in that. So, and that played quite a bit here in
Knowing
America.
That makes you a geek among geeks.
I was just going to say, I think we probably are full up now on our Rulalenska
Knowing
trivia.
That
Thank
is
you.
Like its own form of birth control.
Wow.
I never gave
up any chance of ever getting laid.
Wow.
I think. Okay.
You want to come play Dungeons and Dragons with me, Chris?
Boy.
I never listened to the radio play. I'm just passing on information.
All right. So we were talking about the snowstorm that has paralyzed Washington, which I know is something new for Congress because so much had been getting done.
We can't get anything done now.
Virtually every hearing has been postponed by the snowstorms, including one on global warming. Ha ha, giving the skeptics a chance to make those jokes about global. See, there's no global warming because it's snowing in the winter. And he's going to
That's wonderful. The best thing about being a global warming denier is that you won't be around to regret having been one.
Exactly. Congress canceled all food service Wednesday, Chris. Did you hear that? Blasting 14,000 congressional blackberries with instructions to brown bag lunch if you're working on the Hill.
Gary Nadler tried to filibuster that, by the way.
Yes. John Boehner, he had a little checklist before he left the House. Let's see. Tanner. Snowballs. Little Debbie cakes. All right, I don't know. There must be a Mrs. Boehner, I guess, that packs his little brown bag for
him. I'm sure there is.
Extra Kleenex because he cries a lot, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so...
Colostomy bag for his mouth, you know, what have you.
Members of the Senate Finance Committee unveiled a long-awaited bipartisan jobs bill Thursday morning, only to have it scrapped within hours by Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Reid killed the bill after hearing complaints from members of his own caucus who argued that Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus had, how does this sound familiar, had gone too far beyond the core goal of job creation in order to win over Republican support.
Yeah.
Who, it was a major rebuke for Baucus, who spent weeks working with Chuck Grassley, just like he did on...
What a guy. Just like they did on keeping single payer from being brought up in all those hearings.
The Harry Reid said the message is so watered down with people wanting other things in this big package that we're going to have to come back and finish that. So he had talked about getting that done over the weekend, Chris, but they're not going to get that down. But I got to say, we've been talking about this over and over again, and Joe Biden talked about it on Larry King. Wait a minute, I got bumped for what, Joe Biden? Where's his body of work?
Oh, dear.
But he was on Larry King, Chris, talking about the same thing we've been talking about. It's just these Senate rules. We are not going to get anything done unless the Democrats grow a set.
Well, now, hang on. What do you mean by this? Because I actually back up Harry Reid on his move to squelch the filibuster killer bill the Democrats are working on.
Yeah.
I think that was right of Harry Reid. The Democrats wanted to get rid of the filibuster because whatever party's in power always wants to get rid of the filibuster forever. Mm. And Harry Reid put the kibosh on it very wisely, I thought, because in a very short time, the Democrats could be the minority party again. And the only thing that keeps them one party from running roughshod in an imperialist monopoly over all of Congress is the filibuster.
Yeah, except the problem is George Bush had no problem putting through his tax cuts with reconciliation. There was no kind of outcry. And they make this sound like now it would be the worst thing in the world for us to get health care.
I think you're exactly right, and I think they should. I think a man would use reconciliation to get that thing through on 51 votes, but getting rid of the filibuster is the wrong way to do it. That will only hurt the Democrats in
the
a few
problem
short
is
years.
They're abusing it, John. The Senate Republicans have abused the filibuster in an unprecedented way, crippling the Senate from enacting needed reforms, preventing the majority from carrying out their electoral mandate. So on Larry King, Joe Biden was called out the Republican abuse. He said, I was a senator for 36 years. I got here when I was 29 years old, so I've been through 7 presidents, 8 now. I've never seen a time when the operating norm to get anything passed was a supermajority of 60 votes. No matter what the bill is, it's filibustered. It's required to get 60 votes. You can't rule by supermajority. You can't govern if you require a supermajority. And I think it's getting to the point where it's been abused, this idea of the filibuster or the threat of extended debate. I think the public is taking it out, the Congress as a whole, which I think is true. That's the Republicans' goal, is they're dragging down Democrats with them. People are fed up with Congress, quote-unquote, in general, because they're not getting anything done. The Republicans are making sure they don't.
He's exactly right, and I would point out the Republican Party used the filibuster more in Bill Clinton's first year in office than had been used the previous 100 years combined, and they've doubled the amount of filibusters from last year.
There are now double the number of cloture votes there were a decade ago, triple the number 20 years ago. The filibuster does not appear in the Constitution, and many believe it would be ruled unconstitutional were the Supreme Court not extremely shy of challenging the internal workings of Congress.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi, I was thrilled yesterday, made a rare public plea to Harry Reid, urging him to use reconciliation to pass health care. She said, noted, a constitutional majority is 51 votes. She said the need for 60 isn't legitimate in terms of passing legislation.
Exactly. And look, the filibuster is the minority controlling the majority. It is totalitarian fascism. But trust me, the Democrats will need the filibuster in a few short years to keep themselves alive. Mm-hmm. That is not the solution to this problem. The solution is these guys growing a pair. Harry Reid needs to rip the tassels off his loafers and start making reconciliation.
Start beating someone with them. All right. Christine Romer, economic advisor on unemployment, because obviously jobs bill is next.
That's surely not good enough, right? And the fact that the unemployment rate is still 9.7% is exactly why the president has emphasized job creation and why we need legislation that's going to help jumpstart that.
Robert, we can wait on getting the breakfast out. Thank you so much, man, that on the show that's trying to kill me for the insurance money.
Was that
okay?
Ron that did
yes.
that?
Ron. Yes, he went to get John and I breakfast.
He's
very noisily.
He's a radio executive.
Yeah, we're on the air now. Yeah. We're on the air now live. Right now. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary.
Nobody had a full grasp, us included, on just how deep this was. Now, that's not to blame anybody.
What is he talking? No one had a deep grasp how deep it was? Did he notice the impeachment of Bill Clinton? Did he not expect this to happen from these guys?
I think he's talking about the economy.
Right.
Nobody knew
how bad the economy was.
Yeah.
But that's the same thing with Bill Clinton. Clinton used the same line the first year he was in office because Bush, one, had lied about his own numbers. They knew it was going to be terrible. I think that they're not blaming Bush enough.
Yeah, didn't it remind you yesterday with all the Clinton coverage? You're like, oh, that's right. That's the guy that left us the huge surplus. I remember that. Representative Eric Cantor, Republican of Virginia.
We need less finger-pointing right now. People are really looking for leadership.
What? They're the ones that point the finger at Obama 24/7 and blame him for every single problem, including the deficit and the economy and jobs. I mean, what is he talking about?
Yeah, you know, Eric Cantor's the guy who's always on his BlackBerry whenever Obama's speaking. It's so fun to watch him because I imagine
such a little
the
twit.
Dirty things he's sending, you know. OMG, I've never even been attracted to a black guy platonically. But this guy's amazing. This guy's Eric Cantor's a weasel, I think that he's the one you have to watch because he's never going to run for president, but he's going to become like the new Newt Gingrich. He will be the more and more, watch this, the mouthpiece of the party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this. Did you see he's just such a little twit, isn't he, Chris? He's the one that sent this letter to the White House saying, threatening not to show up for this televised health care meeting. He sent a letter stipulating, it was the ransom note. Mm-hmm. It was all, he cut out little letters from magazines. He sent a letter to the White House stipulating preconditions for Republican participation in the bipartisan health care reform meeting proposed by President Obama. They said unless Obama was willing to scrap the current health care bill, Republicans might rightly be reluctant to participate. Their letter was met with some derision from even conservatives who called it silly and politically dangerous. So then he backtracks. Then he goes on Fox News and they ask him, so you're showing up to this televised thing, right? Cantor says, absolutely. Republicans have always said we stand ready and willing to work with President Obama.
Always. They've always said that.
Oh, please. Please.
But
hilarious.
They're so painted in a corner now because they have to keep their base satisfied. And if they even try to work with Obama, their base is going to Lindsey Graham them and think they're weak.
Yeah.
So they're trapped. They can't help.
Yeah.
They're completely useless by their own design.
Oh, it's the new game show in the Beltways, watching John McCain tack to the left, or tack to the right, away from J.D. Hayworth, right? I mean, seriously, he does not care how hypocritical he seems on every issue, right?
Right. He doesn't care at all. But we knew that in 2008.
All right.
That Hayworth-McCain race is going to be really, really interesting to watch. It's going to be fun watching them tear each other apart.
Well, I'm watching the Tea Partiers tear Sarah Palin apart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's caught in so much hypocrisy, John McCain, that he's become that Saturday Night Live character. It's like, no, I didn't. I didn't say that. No, I didn't. It's him, not me, right? I didn't say that. Yes, you did. It's right here on tape. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the jobs bill and much more as we continue on Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look, the two symbols of the Republican Party, an elephant and a big fat white guy who's threatened by change.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. We keep on waiting. Stephanie Miller.
John 51 Mayer. 51 minutes after the hour. I get it. It's John Mayer.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good song.
We are in the midst of Friday's
Show. He's a good singer-songwriter.
He is.
However...
I had the right idea when I first interviewed him on Pure Oxygen. You didn't really let him talk. He just sang. He asked him a couple questions about the music. Okay, sing now.
Yeah.
Shush. You just shush and sing. All right. So we were talking about the jobs situation. Christian Weller, a fancy economist guy, coming up in just a few minutes. We had, unexpected good job news this week.
What'd you do? What happened?
I burped up my bagel.
That was pretty hot.
A little bit. Did you enjoy that, John?
You know what? When you do it, it's sexy. I can't explain it, but wow.
It was a little girl burp. Okay. It's just like a little girl sneeze.
That's hot, too.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Is Christian Weller going to explain Harry Reid putting the kibosh on the package yesterday?
We will ask him about that.
I just read a headline saying Reid crushes buy job package, and I didn't know what that meant. And I didn't want to know. I just put up my international mail catalog and kept reading.
It sounds sexy. All right. So at any rate, we will talk about what all the job news means. Representative Eric Cantor, right-wing twit, from Virginia.
Small business people right now are scared that Washington's going to raise taxes, very concerned that there are going to be higher costs associated with a health care bill being pushed by this White House and the Democrats in Congress.
Not if there's a public option.
Yeah.
You know, they just have to keep on lying and lying and lying, and the president won't call them a liar. He won't use the lie word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the problem, is I just...
Again,
it
Liz
just doesn't
Morgan
seem
Freeman.
Like it matters what issue it is. We are just not going to get any cooperation. To me, and I know the word unprecedented is probably used too much, but I've never seen this level of obstructionism.
Well, the sad thing is that I just wrote a piece about this that I performed the other night, and I'm submitting around, but it should have been the Republicans leading the fight for health care reform. If the Republicans had been doing this thing, can you imagine how beautiful it would have been? They would have rammed the public option through the House faster than that other unread masterpiece, the Patriot Act. Fox News would have accused anybody again health care of treasonous disregard for Americans. Hannity would have done his screaming thing every night where his head looks like Fred Flintstone when Barney steals the Fruity Pebbles. If you're a patriot, you care about saving American lives. And if you're a capitalist, you care about having competition to bring down prices. And if you're a Christian, you care about helping the sick.
Do you have hope about this televised meeting on the 25th?
You know, I feel like it's a lot of theater, but that said, the theater tends to help Obama. You know, I mean, that whole little RA training exercise you did last week when he spoke to the Republicans, it wasn't really about policy. It was fantastic watching it. I felt like I was seeing Harry Truman, but it was essentially theater that was good PR for the White House.
Mm-hmm. Senator John Kyle, Republican of Arizona. On the
I
job.
Don't agree with some parts of it. I'm sure some of my other colleagues don't agree with things that I like in it. But it's an effort to bring together a group of things that a large consensus can be developed around.
Well, that was kind of scuttled.
Insane.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, the problem is, are there enough of them to get anything? It doesn't seem like it. I mean, how long did we spend sucking up to, what's her name? Olympia Snow.
Exactly.
You know?
And again, let's be honest, folks. This is Democrats and Republicans blaming each other for an economy created by Democrats and Republicans. It was Democrats who actually got NAFTA passed. You know, you want to get jobs back, repeal NAFTA and start bringing them back from overseas. We're still shipping them out hand over fist from this country.
Yeah.
You can't go around talking about bringing new jobs when you've still got a policy in place that has literally shoveled our jobs out of this country to foreigners.
Yep. For instance, here's a piece of legislation. Senator Sherrod Brown, our buddy, our pal, Democrat of Ohio, unveiled legislation that would slap a 50% tax on bonuses paid by all banks that receive bailout money. He said Wall Street's lavish bonuses were made possible by taxpayers. That money was supposed to be lended to small business. It hasn't been. He insists his bill will see overwhelming support. He said he wants to force the Republicans to take an uncomfortable vote, which, the Republicans are going to be against that.
Of course they are.
And yet they have these tea parties try to say they're the party of Main Street. And, you know, they're not.
Well, but that's no shock. I mean, like I've said before, rich people pay Fox people to make middle class people blame poor people. But, you know, if Sherrod Brown was to get this bill passed, it's a beautiful bill. But the painful fact is whoever gets the White House is the one that Wall Street feels safest with.
Yeah.
So if you start shaking down these guys now, if you start actually making these banks pay back the money.
Oh, I mean, and Boehner and his friends, they're actively courting getting this Wall Street money now, saying, you know, we're the guys that are going to protect you. And then at the same time, just saying, oh, they're the party of the Tea Party and the grassroots and they're for the people.
We know that Boehner went to Wall Street and actually complained, saying, we've been loyal servants to you. Why aren't we getting the donations?
Exactly.
Because the Democrats are doing the Republicans' job for them.
Same thing with this bill. A pair of Democratic lawmakers on Thursday introduced the framework for legislation intended to minimize the impact of last month's Supreme Court decision allowing unlimited corporate attack ads. Chris Van Hollen, whom we know.
Yes.
Senator and Senator Chuck Schumer warned that without prompt legislation, it would yield an explosion of corporate ads in the 2010 midterms and beyond. Overall, the Supreme Court's decision opened the floodgates to a torrent of corporate money. That's the bad news, said Schumer. The good news is there are solutions that can help patch the dam. They sketch an outline of package proposals intended to limit corporate ads by increasing disclosure requirements, restricting advertising by foreign-controlled companies, recipients of bailout cash, and federal contractors. They acknowledge, though, they did not have any Republican support. Here we go again.
And this is the reason why you're not going to see Obama getting more liberal before 2012.
And, by the way, specifically called out Senator John McCain, who we just talked about, who has distanced himself from campaign finance reform.
Oh, has he ever.
Has tacked to the right. I mean, literally, bills that his name are on, is on.
Yeah, bills he spent his career trying to get put forward, he's now running away from.
Yeah. I mean, don't ask, don't tell. He's on record saying, if when the military comes to me and says it's time to overturn it, I'll say, okay. He just, there is nothing.
Well, we know that Cheney's against don't ask, don't tell. Cheney was opposed to don't ask, don't tell 20 years ago when he was Secretary of Defense. I'm interested to see if he'll come out in the name of his love for his daughter to support Obama on this one bit.
No, of course not. I don't think it'll happen. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we're back with fancy economist guy Christian Weller, economist with the Center for American Progress, to talk about the jobs numbers and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. 6 minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 148 points. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Safelite Auto Glass. Windshield chipped or cracked, call Safelite Auto Glass at 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelite.com, won't ya? StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Eric in Ohio did. Because Keith Olbermann said Mama's name the other night. And Shin played a clip of me on Joy Day Hard.
Whatever.
Stephanie Miller.
Steph, considering the weather, it's a good thing that for Keith Olbermann that you're stalking him. When the blizzard causes him to drive his car into a trench, you'll be there to save him. After a few weeks of TLC, he'll be ready to kick right-wing ass again. But I wish he died in the accident after you keep him prisoner in your brownstone and force him to read his special comments just for you. Oh, it's a little misery.
You know what?
MSNBC misery.
There's one problem with that little story, though. He doesn't drive because of his eyesight.
I don't think so.
Because of his eyesight.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, no one drives in New York anymore.
He has a personal driver. It's Billy Joel.
He didn't start the fire.
No. All right. Mama will be on the Ed Show with guest host Lawrence O'Donnell tonight on MSNBC and also on Larry King Live
get
on
slutty
CNN.
With him?
Pardon me?
Are you going to get slutty with Lawrence O'Donnell?
No, I will try. I will try not to, although I believe Mrs. O'Donnell must be in L.A. All right. We had big jobs news this week, and we have fancy economist guy. All right. He's an economist at the Center for American Progress, blah, blah, blah. Christian Weller, also from RoboCop. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Stephanie.
How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing fine. I fled Washington for the less snowy climes of Boston.
Yeah. How did that happen?
I never thought I would say that.
What? So now, Christian, first of all, let's break down this. We got some better than expected news on the job front this week, correct? The number of unemployment claims dropped. Go ahead.
On the claims, on the unemployment claims, we got some better than expected news. We also got some better than expected news this morning on retail sales. So there's some things that are looking up in the United States, but you already mentioned that the stock market is down today quite sharply. And what that means is, and if you look through all the other things that are flying around right now, is that much of the situation that we're in right now in terms of the economy and ultimately in terms of creating jobs is a little out of our control. The main issue here is what has been driving a lot of growth in the last 6 months or so is exports. And right now, Europe came out with new numbers. They've grown very slowly. Troubles in Greece and Portugal are certainly putting some damper on hopes in growth in Europe. And then China has announced that they want to slow growth because they are afraid of overheating. What that means ultimately is we're going to have less export growth probably in the next 6 months, 12 months. That means less manufacturing jobs than we otherwise would have had. And there isn't all that much we can do about that. And so I think we have right now some better than expected news domestically, but a lot of what is happening in the economy and in the labor market is ultimately out of our control. That doesn't mean we're going to go into another recession. It just simply means we're going to slow growth slower than we otherwise mm-hmm. would have or that we had hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
And that then comes back to policy. It means that the pressure is now on policymakers to do something about creating jobs domestically, and that's where the jobs bill comes in that the Senate is negotiating right now.
Right. Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about is the jobs bill. So Senate Democrats scrapped a bipartisan jobs bill in favor of one they say is leaner and more focused on solely on putting Americans back to work. They're all but daring Republicans to vote against it. There was criticism the bipartisan version wouldn't create many jobs. What do you think of the new stripped-down proposal?
Well, I think the stripped-down proposal it has some good news and some bad news. The good news is it gets rid of some wasteful stuff. It calls out the Republicans and conservatives. I mean, it's not just Republicans. There's some conservative Democrats who are being put on a spot here for trying to promote a cut in the estate tax for the wealthiest estates. I mean, it's only affecting people who leave more than $7 million behind. The cuts to those taxes as
I'm sorry, how much?
Trading measure is just absolutely ridiculous. You can leave $7 million behind in
seven.
And so what they want to do is they want to cut the taxes for any dollars above $7 million.
Pretty Republicans listening, you're talking about what they call the death tax, right?
I refuse to call it that. Although
good for you,
the
you
official
shouldn't.
Name that the Bush administration gave it in all the documents.
So let me get this straight. Republicans, the party of Main Street, they are fighting for people that will be left $7 million or more so that they don't have to.
Right. Well, as I said, it's not just Republicans. There's a few conservative Democrats who are siding with that. Essentially, Harry Reid said that's a no-go. You cannot sell this as a jobs-creating bill, so we're going to strip this down. We're going to stop this deal making here that is wasteful. But what the problem is, you're now splitting the jobs bill in the unemployment bill. So what Harry Reid is proposing is really a targeted jobs bill, but you are no longer putting money into infrastructure projects. There's no longer money for the states in it. So that's the bad news. And the other part is extension to the unemployment insurance and for health insurance support for the unemployed workers will supposedly be taken up in a separate bill. That one will probably gather also some bipartisan support because it's very hard for conservatives to vote against extensions to the unemployment bill in this situation. So that one will pass probably as a separate bill later in the month. But what the biggest bad news of the stripped-down bill is that it won't really give money to the struggling states, and so that will mean further cuts in terms of employment for teachers, for firefighters, for police officers.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably the biggest sticking point. Again, if you want to boil this down, it's like the Democrats are in favor of putting more money into infrastructure and helping the states. The Republicans on the other side want to get cuts to the estate tax in order to sign on to this. And I think Harry Reid said that's a no-go.
Oh, I don't understand what the Republicans are fighting for anymore. But so, you know, the president made an interesting.
This is a Scott Brown populist Republican, supposedly.
Yeah.
I mean, fighting for billionaires.
Yeah, I thought the president made a good point this week, Christian. You know, for those of us that don't, you know, you really keep the numbers in our head like people like you do. He inherited an economy. We were losing jobs a month, correct?
Right. By the time he took office, we were losing on average about 700,000 jobs a month, yes.
Right. So what are we losing a month now?
We're close to zero. Last month was 20,000 jobs, but statistically that was essentially equal to zero.
So I don't have a fancy economist degree. That's better, right, than the 700,000?
It's a huge improvement,
jobs.
And it's much faster than we had expected. That doesn't mean the job is done.
No, of course not.
A lot of conservatives in both parties would like to see this. They're like, well, we're no longer losing jobs, so we're done. The problem is we're 10.5 million jobs in the hole, and we need to get out of this hole to help the people who've lost their jobs.
Right, but what's the Republicans' argument? When you keep hearing over and over again, well, clearly we can all see the stimulus hasn't worked. I mean, how do they explain that we've gone from losing 700,000 jobs a month to zero? How do they explain that? If you know, they're saying they keep saying over and over again the president has these job-killing policies.
to, there's different versions of the explanation. One is like simply avoiding the topic and saying like, well, it didn't do what it's supposed to do. There's some evasive tactics. The other part is it gets accredited or whatever, the improvements get credited with the Reagan tax cuts. That is actually as laughable as it is, that it's often it's a staple.
Wow. You mean it's the Reagan tax cuts that saved us from the Clinton-Gore recession? Is that what their point is?
Yes. So I think there is a lot of tomfoolery. There's a lot of unwillingness to face up to the fact that the stimulus actually did work and that it was a mix of tax cuts and spending increases, and they did actually save or create 2 million jobs by the end of 2009, and we're probably going to create or save another 1.5 million jobs just as it was promised. So this one is actually it's amazing in terms of how well the stimulus fits the predictions. So I think
I mean, it's working. It seems to me exactly the way it was intended.
Designed. Because it's like only if you design something very targeted can you actually predict its outcome relatively well. So
you mean they were conservative?
And that's the other. That's the follow-up lesson is policy can do good things. And
Like I say, it's hard for me to understand how you have a discussion with them when they're ignoring math. when you go, okay, these policies now have taken us from losing 700,000 jobs a month to zero. Let's go back to the thing that got us to the 700,000 a month. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense to me still arguing that. I mean, there are people literally now arguing for privatization of Social Security when you're going, but if we had done that under Bush, those people would be screwed now that gambled away their retirement benefits, right?
Well, the Social Security privatization proposal by Representative Ryan is it's not even worth discussing it because it's such a big joke. The Congressional Budget Office, in scoring it, said his proposal would actually make the whole thing worse. But he's running around saying, I'm fixing the budget deficit. But the Congressional Budget Office says, your proposal is making it worse. So I don't know why we need to take this seriously. But let me be serious for a moment. The main issue here is that we are back in this world where ideology and buzzwords get pitted against facts. And in the end, I think facts will win. We just need to, keep reminding people, and as economists show, that the stimulus did work exactly like it was supposed to do. It brought us from losing 700,000 jobs on average to basically at this point not losing any jobs, starting to reduce the unemployment rate. We need to keep this momentum going. We need to strengthen this momentum because of the trouble in the rest of the world that is brewing right now. And policy can do this. Policy is
all right, Christian. Enough of your liberally biased facts and numbers and things like that. Christian Weller, economist with the Center for American Progress. Thanks so much for taking time for us, as always, Christian.
Anytime, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes. Christian Weller.
What a man, what a mighty, mighty good man.
I knew things were getting better, Chris, because he left a message on my cell phone this morning.
He did.
I was like, oh, I think he was confused whether we were confirmed or not. But
right.
I was like, oh, the economy must be better. He's calling me he's calling me personally.
That was on roaming charges, so he's doing well.
Hello. 18 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Bugles Thang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. You all probably know it's cold here in New York where Mama is. Guess what's warming up my studio right now? Gorgeous ProFlowers roses. Yikes, get moving. Valentine's Day is Sunday, and ProFlowers is delivering all weekend long. And here it comes, that exclusive radio offer for my radio listeners. 1 dozen red roses or 2 dozen assorted roses, just $29.99. That's right. Both offers include a free glass vase and free truffles, over $30 in savings. If you've never tried ProFlowers, what are you waiting for? ProFlowers bouquets are guaranteed to stay fresh for 7 days, and you can't lose. Trust me, you don't have another minute to spare. Buy now. Here's what I want you to do to get your exclusive radio deal on these roses. Call 800-PRO-FLOWERS and mention Stephanie. Or even better, go to ProFlowers.com right now. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter my password, Stephanie. That's ProFlowers.com. Click on the microphone. Type in the password, Stephanie. Your time is up. Order now. 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS or ProFlowers.com. Don't forget, you gotta say Stephanie.
Stephanie Miller. The things you say, you're unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with Fuglesang, 24 minutes after the hour.
AMS.
Mm-hmm.
Song's 21 years old.
Is it really?
Really, no.
Yes.
It seems so current to me.
Well, your musical knowledge ends in 1992, Stephanie.
Now, Michael Steele's still wearing his hat that way, so I guess.
It's still the way I roll. All right. Speaking of right-wing asshats, how about this Missouri Republicans' argument against repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell? Oh. It would be a cultural affront to terrorists. That might make them more want to kill us even more.
So we have to be right. More like the terrorists. Mm-hmm. More like the Taliban. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. On Tuesday, the Missouri State Senate debated President Obama's call to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell with dueling non-binding resolutions alternately calling for the repeal and preservation of the military policy. State Senator Gary Nadler, who is running in the Republican primary for Roy Blunt's seat, carved out a new reason for maintaining the current policy. He said being openly gay in the military is in and of itself could be grounds for a sexual harassment complaint by another serviceman.
What?
He went on to say allowing openly gay soldiers in the military could represent a cultural affront to terrorists intent on killing American troops.
So that's why they hate Israel and the British and all the other countries that allow gay troops.
He said this is a policy that would directly threaten the lives of soldiers today.
Actually,
so you see, they're not even really trying to kill us now, but apparently.
Oh, if they're gay soldiers, they'll look out.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
then
really
they might really,
them.
Really want to kill us.
Actually, it's the Crusades that have really been pissing them off for about 1,000 years.
Yeah, I think that wouldn't be, I don't know, appeasing terrorists or anything, would it? Like, we'd hate to offend terrorists.
This war is not a war. It is our right-wing conservative douchebags who want to send young men to die versus their right-wing conservative douchebags who want to send young men to die.
That's what
it is, folks.
What would Bin Laden do? That's what we should ask ourselves.
Well, he wouldn't do it because he's buried 10 feet deep in
Afghani still alive.
Desert right now. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
He's so dead he sent his last tape on beta.
Right.
So a lot of liberals, of course, heartened when President Obama pledged to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but their initial elation is giving way to concerns the repeal will stall in the penalty box of presidential promises, the U.S. Senate, where dreams go to die. House Democratic leadership aides tell Politico they're growing increasingly worried over a lack of detailed White House roadmap for passing a repeal, and that without such a roadmap, repeal we'll end up in the same kind of Senate gridlock that hobbled health care. I hope not, because that's what I'm saying. It's like here we are again where the president's leaving it up to Congress, and is that gonna actually get this done?
Look, the heads of
the
Joint
Chiefs. Are you going to have weenie Democrats going, oh, remember when Bill Clinton was...
The Secretary of Defense and the head of the Joint Chiefs, the people who run the Pentagon, want Don't Ask, Don't Tell repealed. So ask your Republican friends, why do you hate the American military?
Right.
Yeah, why do you hate the troops?
Why are you not listening to the generals on the ground? And the admiral in the water.
Exactly. I don't know. We've talked about this for a while. The gay activists have been impatient with the president, with the White House on these matters.
They're not just impatient. They're livid.
When the White House is saying, what more can he do? You know, how much clearer can he be? However, I just think, look at health care. He's like, leave it up to Congress and you figure. I mean, I understand the argument that it has to be overturned by Congress to be permanent. So that's the route they want to go, because if he does an executive order and the next president, if it's a Republican, can overturn it.
Right, but they won't. I mean, Harry Truman didn't see consensus when he overturned segregation in the military. He did executive order in one day. And as far as health care, let's be honest, Obama's Twitter page is still fighting harder than he is. So, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with this.
It's like these ridiculous arguments. First of all, by the way, terrorists don't like women. They don't like chicks serving in the army either.
Exactly.
And we don't cave on that.
We don't want to upset their sensibilities with too much freedom. It's the very people in this country who say freedom the most are the ones trying to impinge it.
Exactly.
Come on, wake up, America. These are not Americans. These are the right-wing douchebags on both sides. That's what the conflict's between.
You know what would be a really good idea is if we could get into a third war. John McCain tacking to the right again on Iran this time.
We Americans have an obligation to assist morally and materially that effort for freedom and democracy.
By bombing them.
Oh, God. Yeah, where's that George Bush freedom montage? Oh, God. Not the fiery freedom again, Jim. We have a responsibility to bring the freedom. Oh, no. That didn't work out very well the last time.
We have to free them from their bodies.
That is the force of human freedom. Freedom in all the world. Freedom, freedom's call. Free dissent without freedom. Human liberty. Global appeal of liberty. Call of freedom. Liberty. Your liberty. Liberty in our land. Liberty in other lands.
Yeah. Yes,
we want freedom except the classroom, the bedroom, and the womb.
Yeah. Of course, that was about seven excuses down for Iraq. What? Oh, it was to bring them, huh? Wait. 29 minutes after the hour, back with the president of UAW next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, good grief. My cousin set me up on a blind date for Valentine's, and I just found out the girl is, well,
Stephanie Miller.
34 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday. We are, there's been all sorts of news job-wise, Toyota recall-wise, and we wanted to talk to the UAW Vice President, Bob King, about all the goings-on in the news. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Oh, happy to. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, you are responsible for Ford Motor Company and auto parts suppliers and other manufacturing, correct?
That's correct.
So, the first thing we have to ask is, talk about Ford's success, because you guys are actually doing really well.
Yeah, it's like Ford has found its way after founding for a while, and Toyota has lost its way.
Mm-hmm.
And Ford is doing the right things for the community, the right things for the environment, the right things for workers. I was just at the Chicago Assembly Plant, built in 1929, the longest-running assembly plant in the U.S., and Ford has put major reinvestment in that plant, put three brand-new vehicles, the Taurus, the MKS, and now the Explorer. World-class quality cars built by world-class employees, most of our members, 15, 20, 25, 30-year seniority, who've been building quality for a long time with a lot of passion about the vehicles, like the workers at the Fremont plant have. So Ford's doing the right thing, and Toyota, in abandoning the workers in the community, is hurting the environment, is hurting the community, is hurting the workers. It's just, I don't know what happened to Toyota.
Well, obviously we've heard a lot. We've heard a lot, Bob, about this economy, and Ford sales up 25%. It's in the black. And so Toyota, you've talked about how, obviously there's been a lot of recalls and all this stuff going on, but you're saying they're reacting the wrong way. They're set to close a plant, correct, April 1st?
Toyota came to the United States of America and said to American workers, adopt the Toyota production system. If you make quality vehicles, you'll have lifetime employment. They're breaking that promise now. They're breaking it to the workers and the horrendous impact in the community and the state of California in this really tough economy. It's wrong. And consumers and political leaders and community leaders got to stand up to Toyota and say, this is against your own philosophies and your own principles. This plant should stay open right today in that plant. Well, they're bringing vehicles, not the ones we make, from all over the country, all different models into that plant, and we're fixing the accelerator pedals because we've got quality members that care. Last night on the afternoon shift, the workers made a production number at the highest quality of vehicles. These workers want to build a great vehicle for the consumer, and they want to help Toyota succeed.
Mm-hmm. Well, this plant itself that they're talking about closing, I was reading about, has been a global star after the economic traumas in the early 80s. Toyota wanted to test its much-heralded production system with U.S. workers and seasoned union members, and GM wanted to observe the Toyota approach up close. So, the result sustained success over the last quarter of a century, correct?
Absolutely. All kinds of J.D. Power Awards, Quality Awards, Productivity Awards, Environment Awards. These workers have done everything that's been asked of them. And this community and the state has supported Toyota to an unbelievable level. Their highest single market share of any state in the United States is California. And to now want to ship Corollas in from Japan, that's crazy. Or from Canada, to think of the environmental impact, the carbon footprint impact. It's contrary to what they say they are. Many Californians bought Toyota thinking they are environmentally and community-friendly company. Now they're doing the exact opposite of that.
Right. Bob, you know, the nominee for the Labor Board obviously just got voted down. What is your take on that? Because it just seems to me that that's all the Republicans are interested in, is making sure that, you know, hardworking men and women don't get, you know, a fair shake.
Well, absolutely, I agree with that. We need, national health care reform. We need labor law reform. All we want, all workers want, is a fair chance to take care of their families, to work with dignity, and to retire with dignity. And Republicans seem to undermine that at every chance they get. We want America to have a strong middle class and fairness and justice for everybody. And those things like turning down the NLRB appointee by fighting health care. I mean, every other industrial nation in the world has some form of public health care, and we can't get our act together to do it here. That's outrageous.
Well, I mean, it seems to me like we bring up health care, but the Republicans, they focus on, teeny infinitesimal parts of it, like tort reform being the only important thing to do. And then also, they talk about the Cadillac health plans. Well, in many cases, you guys traded raises for those health plans, so it's like they focus on, to me, the few things that would, that are not a significant part of health care reform, but are... Yeah. Going to hurt you guys.
You're absolutely right. And if you care about the voters, don't you want every voter to have a Cadillac health care plan? And if we all work together, we could do that at a much better price than what each individual corporation does it now.
Right.
If you really wanted to help the economy, keep America strong, keep manufacturing America strong, we'd all be working together to come up with a health care plan that benefited everybody.
Yep, absolutely. Well, as long as you're on the job. Now, you're going to do the election's coming up, right? You're the designated candidate for UAW president. The election is coming up.
I'm not a candidate. The delegates haven't been elected, and we don't vote until June. So that's our process. We have a convention in June, and candidates will run. Then we'll elect the president and a number of officers at that time. But honestly, my focus now is to help these workers at the toilet plant. And on the NUMMI website, they claim, and I think that this is accurate, that they provide not just the 5,000 jobs or 5,400 that were in the Fremont plant, but 50,000 supplier and vendor jobs that they're going to abandon. And they're betraying the community. They're betraying all these workers in the supplier sector and vendors who've helped them have this quality product. They sell 400,000 Corollas a year in the United States of America. You sell them here, build them here. That's the principle they came over on. That plant could run full out 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, just making Corollas if Toyota would do that.
Well, California is their number one market. I think you're right. Cutting 5,000 jobs is not the way to show commitment to your number one market, right?
Well, and really it's more like 50,000 jobs. Look at their website. They say right on their website, we provide 50,000 jobs in California.
Mm-hmm. I was talking about just that one plant, but yeah, absolutely. Well, Bob, keep fighting the good fight, and thanks so much for taking time for us. Bob King of the UAW. Thank you, Bob. There he goes. Salt of the earth.
Nissan builds their cars in America.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Chris, if you wanted to buy American, you could also go to the banner ad for usacoffeecompany.com at stephaniemiller.com.
You certainly could and pick yourself up.
And you'd be supporting American-made goods and union workers. And a couple dollars would go to Gentle Giants Rescue.
$3, as a matter of fact.
Thank you.
Yeah, you just pick up a few bags of Stephanie Miller's Gentle Blend.
And if you don't, why do you hate America and the puppies so much?
And you'd be supporting the art of the Segway.
You can support Mama going back to Segway school.
Wow, that was smooth.
Zoink.
Having said that.
All right, we were talking about the fun possibility of starting a third war with Iran.
Well, that'd actually be a fourth war, I think.
Oh, no. That's right. Pardon.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just excited for the Pakistan war to get going.
Mm-hmm.
You got your Afghanistan and my Pakistan.
Robert Gibbs yesterday on...
Iran has made a series of statements that are far more political than they are. They're based on politics, not on physics, okay? The Iranian nuclear program has undergone a series of problems throughout the year. Quite frankly, what Ahmadinejad says, he says many things and many of them turn out to be untrue. We do not believe they have the capability to enrich to the degree to which they now say they are enriching.
Oh, did we infiltrate them with some Toyota executives?
So in 500 years, is America still going to be trying to keep Iran from getting nukes? Is this just the rest of our lives now? Is how do we keep the things in Pandora's box? I mean, that's really what it's all about. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to keep nukes out of these people's hands forever, but in the meantime, they make a useful bad guy. Ahmadinejad's a joke, correct? It's like the governorship of Texas. It's a weak job.
Exactly.
You're not really doing anything. Ahmadinejad comes out and says bad things about Jews to get the base riled up. It kind of works. See Tea Party Convention. And yet he actually has no power to do anything to Jews. He's just a mouthpiece to shoot his mouth off and draw fire away from the mullahs who run the country.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
conservative religious folk who run that country.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, so the Undie bomber, speaking of Robert Gibbs talking about that as well yesterday in the handling of that.
We're quite comfortable with the way this one was handled. I'm not going to get into hypotheticals.
So we've been talking about this over
and
over.
But if I were to get into hypotheticals.
it gives me a headache, this whole the terror trial stuff. Has anybody in the quote-unquote liberal media put one of the Republicans on the spot and saying, why are you against the criminal trials now?
Yes,
why
they have.
Did you wait 209 trials in the Bush administration to suddenly realize this is completely the wrong way to go about the war on terror?
And they have brought it up. But again, it's just an obstructionist game. It's like this is the reason they weren't called prisoners of war. Because then you have to,
well, they just lie when it's brought up.
Exactly.
When you know, Newt Gingrich was told, well, why is it different for the shoe bomber? He's like, oh, he was an American citizen. No, he wasn't. No, he was a British citizen.
Yeah.
So now what's your argument?
Well, the liberal media is letting him get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well,
damn you, liberals.
All right. The Khalid Sheikh Mohammed trials next up. We'll tell you what some conservative...
They're going to have it at Chuck E. Cheese now, I heard.
Some conservative Democrats have to say.
A Chuck E. Cheese out on Long Island.
Going to help them with colored balls.
Yeah.
Let's have it in Detroit. They could use the business.
I said colored balls. See, I thought you were going to make a John Mayer joke, but you didn't.
Oh.
45 minutes after the
Stephanie
hour.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
Right back with more Fridays with Buglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, even I found that to be in bad taste.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
After the hour.
What was that?
Some kind of dog.
Yeah.
It's me singing.
That was her doing Ringo's vocals for the song.
I don't let me sing the loose songs anymore.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Chris in the Bay Area. Hello, Chris.
Hello. Actually, I wanted to comment on a topic that's about an hour old now, but wanted to talk about...
That's all right. We'll magically bring it back to life. Go ahead.
That would be fantastic. I just wanted to actually talk about the filibuster, and I kind of do think it needs to go, but if it's going to stay, make them filibuster. I mean, right now it's just the threat of filibuster, and I think if they had to go and, you know, read the phone book or something on, C-SPAN with cameras rolling, I don't think they'd be able to do it very long if they were actually made to filibuster.
Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, a lot of these filibusters, Chris, are already in place. Like the 29 nominees who were just cleared yesterday were all being held up by an open filibuster. So they're not necessarily on the air with someone reading the phone book, so they can just leave a filibuster open and you're stuck.
Yeah, I think they should be made to continue a debate, though. If, you know, say, no, we're not going to just be open and you can do, you know, nothing and you don't have to do anything to be filibustering.
Right.
You have to talk. You have to actually continue the debate, which is my understanding of what it was actually designed.
Right.
To continue
the debate. Well, you know, that's the point, is it's being abused in an unprecedented way. So, you know, you're absolutely right. It's not the even existence of it. It's how it's being abused. D'Amelio in Lake Elsinore, California, on the filibuster as well. Hello.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
You know, I have an idea about the filibuster myself. I think the problem is that we don't have a rule to control the filibuster, so why don't we do what the NFL has done? You know, they have 3 timeouts during a session. So give them, like, you know, you got 3 of them for the year, then you're done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. There's a, spoken like a parent.
Somewhere in a cave, future President Romney is hoping the Democrats do away with the filibuster this year. That's all I can say. Believe me, the Democrats will be a minority party again, and they'll need it.
John, in Daytona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
I just wanted to comment on the don't ask, don't tell. I'm retired from the military, and this the whole thing is ridiculous. Most of the Republicans that are coming out against it have never served a day.
Right on.
Yep. One day. And especially Dick Cheney never served a day.
Right.
Well, but he's for letting gays serve openly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this whole the concern about sharing like barracks, and it's like, but you are now.
Yeah.
I mean, what
yeah, exactly.
What makes you think a gay person is attracted to every person of their sex any more than a straight person would be attracted to every, you know, person of the opposite sex?
The whole premise is just ridiculous. You know,
yeah.
and to not let these people serve their country, we're doing a disservice, number one, to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you know. And yeah. with the recruiting being hard to do, you know, if they want to serve, let them serve.
Yep. Thank you, honey. John, you can speak as a straight man. I mean, you and some women with Ann Coulters, would you?
Oh, not at all. I mean, you know, Ann Coulter's kind of like a female Sarah Palin. I can't wait personally to see the recruitment float at the next Pride Parade, because that's what it's going to be all about. Recruiting's going to have a hold. I mean, it's going to be cruising for recruits now. It's going to be a fantastic new day. And again, it's not patriotic. It's not based in science. Everybody who was opposed to it 15 years ago is now going back on it, including Colin Powell.
Right.
Israel allows gays to serve openly. The UK does. Our allies do. It hasn't led to any breakdown of unit cohesion. They are just trying to defend bigotry. They don't even care, the majority of these Republicans, if they're gays in the military. They just want to be homophobic to please their base.
But can you wear camouflage after Labor Day?
That'll be the hardest question we have.
Oh, jeez.
Huh? There's a colon. There's a joke in there about being behind colon. But anyway, let's go
Stephanie.
To
Stephanie.
Brandon in Washington State, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Stephanie, I'm not going to make too many comments on the gay thing. I don't really have a view on that there. But as a business owner, I thought I'd make a couple comments about what that Republican said. First off, I thought it was hilarious about you pointing out what the guy said about terrorists being more willing to attack us for for the sake of having
gays
in the military.
Yeah, if we have gays in the military, then they really want to kill us. They only kind of medium want to kill us now.
That was pretty entertaining, I have to admit.
Thank
but
you.
As a business owner, I think the Republican, I don't remember the guy's name, was actually dead on. I ran two companies, and there's no way in the world I'm going to be hiring right now. I have no clue if my taxes are going to go up, if more rules and regulations are going to go up. They're constantly changing and telling me that different things are going to be happening with the regulations on hiring and how to hire people and all this different stuff. And all this makes a person like myself very uneasy because you have to I'm watching my bottom line. I'm trying to make a profit, which is considered almost evil nowadays, but believe it or not, I try to make a living to support a family.
No, I don't think anyone thinks making a profit is evil. I think taking taxpayer money and getting yourself a huge bonus, that kind of profit is evil, don't you think?
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, but I think that it's evil that we have people in office that are more than willing to take from me to give to someone else. And that's not Republican or Democrat thing. That's both parties. That's
right, but obviously the president and Democrats are talking about how to help small business.
But it's not the president's job or the government's job to say, hey, this is the bank's job to give you money or this or that. That's not freedom. It's the government's job to make it as easy.
When the taxpayers give the banks a bunch of money and part of it is they're supposed to lend to small businesses and they don't.
Then it's the government's business. Absolutely it is.
Well, I come at it from a moral point of view. From a moral point of view, I should never have had my money forcefully taken from me to give to a bank. Now I am not going to break one moral and say, oh, now I'm morally going to break my own rules and say, okay, now that we've done this, we're going to make these banks, we're going to forcefully, not freely, we're going to forcefully make these banks give loans to companies.
Okay,
like
it doesn't piss you off that you paid taxpayer money to bail out a bank who then took that money and instead of lending it to you as a small business, they gave it to themselves as a bonus?
$100 million in bonuses of taxpayer money.
What pisses me off, sorry for using that language, what ticks me off is that we have people in office that are willing to take my money to give it to someone else.
So you just dodged the question.
No. See, I'm going to where the root of the problem is. You guys are saying, okay, one wrong has been done, so let's do another. I'm saying no. I don't agree with
how
the
is it doing
wrong.
Another wrong to have...
Wrong.
Well, let me ask you then. Would you have supported just breaking up the banks and not bailing them out? And if they're too big to fail, they're too big to survive, and let's go down the smaller community banks? Because I think that's a good idea. Would we agree on that?
Yes and no. I agree that there should be smaller banks, but it's because of the government that they're as big as they are. I don't believe in forcefully breaking them up. I believe in letting them self-destruct.
Why is it because of the government that they're as big as they are?
There's no way a bank could ever become as large unless they had the government to back them up, their money to back them up.
Well, you're very right.
As an insurance company, I could never insure a bank that was worth trillions and trillions of dollars. So a bank would always stay smaller and would never be able to get that large. So that way when they did fail...
Right, but it's the lack of government regulation that got us where we are, not too much government.
There is no way, like I said, those banks would ever be able to do that. If you had a private insurance company insuring that bank, and there was no way a private insurance company would ever allow that bank to be given loans that would make the bank self-destruct. I'm a businessman. I know I like to make a profit. So does an insurance company, and they don't want their bank to fail, so that way they lose money. It's called the free market. It's crazy how it works.
Well, you know, as Ralph Nader said, capitalism will never fail because it will always have socialism to bail it out.
Right.
All right. Thank you for calling. Right. All right. Snap, John Fiegel saying.
That was
Snap
good.
Ralph. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. We have a jam-packed hour coming up. We got Right Wing World. We got Celebrity Stack, which is jam-packed full of John Mayer.
Oh,
hell
my
yeah.
God.
Posse up.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We are knee-deep in Fridays with John Fugelsang.
Yes.
Hey, how do Indians feel when they hear teabaggers say, I want my country back?
Yes.
I'm curious. Heck over big on the reservation? I don't know.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Mama will be on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC with guest host Lawrence O'Donnell and then on the Larry King Show on CNN later tonight.
If someone big doesn't die or if...
Yes, I was bumped by Bill Clinton twice yesterday. Thank God he's all right. He's all right.
He is all right. Or maybe they're a little boy floating in a balloon.
Jim, he's out of the hospital now and fine. Do you have any jokes about them having to put the stent in through his groin?
No.
No.
He had two stents put in, or as Larry King calls it, breakfast.
Yeah.
All right. We have been talking all morning about the John Mayer Playboy interview, for which he apologizes.
Yes, he does.
Wow.
Cheerfully and publicly apologized, I might add.
He took to his Twitter page, where apologies are...
Is he tweeting about how he tweets too much?
Yes, apparently. In the Playboy interview, he calls former girlfriend Jessica Simpson sexual napalm.
Bodies one land.
Says Jennifer Aniston is a technophobe who wishes she could go back to her career prime in 1998. He also uses the N-word.
What?
He said he has to try to stop being so raw in his interviews.
Oh.
Or maybe such a weed, perhaps.
Yeah, I think you got the number two one. Although, I got to say, it's really wonderful. After all these years, Playboy has finally overexposed a man. And it's wonderful.
Ladies and...
Taylor Swift's mom/manager wishes John Mayer would get the hell away from her daughter, according to the highly reputable website Showbiz Spy.
John Mayer and Taylor Swift? She's barely legal.
According to this website, they...
You know, Kanye West needs to interrupt that immediately.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to say this now. I'm going to let you finish, but Jessica Simpson was the skankiest hoe this man ever had. You know, if you date John Mayer, you are getting Jessica Simpson's skank on you. And just, that's all you got to know.
He talked about Simpson's sexuality, his problems with Aniston, his love of porn, why he doesn't date black women, and being beloved by the black community, which I think perhaps is no more.
Mm, yeah, he talked about his penis in excruciating detail as well.
He said his penis is a white supremacist. He said, someone asked me the other day, what does it feel like now to have a hood pass? By the way, it's sort of a contradiction in terms, because if you really had a hood pass, you would call it a N-word pass. He actually said the
crack of what? Yeah.
Mayor says he should never abuse the N-word in any context and will never say it again. Yeah, that's a, you know, white people just...
No.
No, there is no context.
Mayor McCheese. You know, it's actually hilarious to see, and I was mentioned before, but, you know, John Mayer, you can either try to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and be taken seriously as an artist, or you can date Jessica Simpson and talk about the sex in the media. You don't get to do both those things in one lifetime. So,
Jim, have you ever met a woman you want to just quit your life and snort her?
Snort isn't the first verb that comes to mind, but...
Yeah. He said, what was the other thing? He said, if she started charging him to... her, he would sell all his to keep in her.
Sure. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, in 5 years, VH1 will present Mayor of Love.
He said he still loves Aniston. I'm guessing it may not be mutual at this point.
Probably not. She finally found a man that she hates more than herself.
But then noting their age difference, she just turned 41. He said, I can't change the fact I need to be 32. Oh, well, more importantly, a 32-year-old asshat, I think, is the important, not really an age thing.
Oh,
he says she doesn't appreciate new technology. Hello, I'm on Team Jen again, Chris. Hello.
You
I have a little trouble with the
more,
new technology as well. He said the brunt of her success came before TMZ and Twitter. I think she's still hoping it goes back to 1998.
Oh my God.
That is awful.
Yes, he also explains why he didn't date black women, comparing his genitals to a white supremacist.
A guy. His mediocrity is a wonderland.
He thinks his penis is a wonderland.
Doesn't he need to have a handler whose full-time job is just to say, thought bubble, inside voice.
You know what? That shouldn't even be in your thought bubble.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Speaking of ugly romantic stories, Dennis Hopper,
Oh, dear.
He was just granted a restraining order against his wife of 14 years, Victoria, after his lawyers argued that her presence is messing with his health. They are currently involved in a nasty divorce while he battles prostate cancer. Delisted writing, I'm pretty sure Victoria is going to have the last laugh here. 10 feet is nothing. That's like two of Tommy Lee's penises. When she's not pretending to be the new Debbie Gibson, she's going to spend the rest of her time shouting, mooning, spitting, and flipping off Dennis from exactly 10 feet away.
Well, what's interesting is that Dennis is, you know, smoking a lot of legal medical ganja to deal with his pain. The man's a cancer patient, and she's tried to use that against him in seeing the child. She's using the child as leverage against them. They have a small daughter. And she doesn't want Dennis to be able to smoke within 6 hours of seeing the child. The cancer patient, I might add.
Yeah.
Now, Dennis
has
said he's willing to not smoke within 1 hour of seeing the child. But Dennis and his doctor have both said that he is in charge of his faculties and that you know, it's not his kids trying to manipulate him to squeeze her out of the estate. It's really, really ugly, and it's really sad after such a career of notable filmmaking that this is the last episode that Dennis is going to be remembered
for. I know. Boy, I mean, it reminds you, you think of the John and Elizabeth Edwards. You're just like, how much can one person deal with at one time in their life?
It's a sad story, and it's only going to get worse. But it does bring medical marijuana to the forefront of a gossip celebrity debate, and I think that's a good issue.
Mm-hmm. By the way, here's a new tricky way to get your pot across the border. The U.S. Border Patrol says agents found a stash of marijuana coming across the border in El Paso in an unusual spot tucked behind framed portraits of Jesus.
Oh,
really?
There's some jokes in there about on high or something. I don't know. All right. I'm just saying, you might not think of that.
Jesus never spoke up against that.
Blessed are the pot growers.
Listen, I don't know why Jesus would have a problem with the pot, because his father seems to enjoy growing it all over the earth.
Yeah, exactly.
It just comes
God has
the ground.
Not come out against pot, folks.
His dad also created arsenic, so yeah.
Well, his dad seems to like raising pot and gay people all over the world, so...
Police were called to George Michael's house after he went missing in the middle of the night. Oh, just check for wherever the pot-bellied van drivers hang out.
Look in the bushes. Yeah.
What, how hard can it be to find George Michael?
Or look, my check, culture.
Check the men's bathroom.
It's my culture. My culture.
Or he's been in a habit of falling asleep behind the wheel of his car at red lights lately, so why not check there?
He wandered off from his property in North London, leaving the front door to his $7.81 million mansion wide open, prompting a security guard to call the police in the early hours of Tuesday morning. After a brief search, he was found safe and well nearby, I'm guessing with a pot-bellied van driver in the bushes.
I call the cops if he's home alone sober.
Yeah, that's the unusual thing.
George Michael, where could he be? Oh, why?
It would be funny if he met Andrew Ridgely at the same glory hole. But other than that, it's just a sad story all around.
Wow, it's not often you hear the name Andrew Ridgely anymore.
Well, Wham jokes going left and right here.
Woo!
Why not?
It's the only talk radio show on earth where you'll hear a Wham joke.
I get him and Kurt Smith mixed up all the time.
Along with a Rulalinska joke at the same time.
Well, I know. Where's Joanne Worley when I need her? Thank you, God.
Do you have the Rulalinska commercial, Jim? Someone sent us the Rulalinska, because apparently it turns out there is a Rulalinska.com and a Rulalinska Facebook page and fan club.
And she was on Celebrity Big Brother Europe with Andrew Ridgely.
She was not. You're making that part up.
She was.
Okay, are we ready?
I'm Rulalinska. As an actress, I always have to look my best. So I'm glad that I found a truly great hairspray from America. It's called Alberto VO5. It holds an incredible 14 hours without stiffness or stickiness. So I can breeze through a busy day without worrying about my hair.
George Michael has never had 15 hours without stiffness or stickiness.
I think she was talking about
John Mayer. But
I thought that was Rulalinska. I thought it was Terrence Stamp for some reason.
Sounds more like Robert Lenska.
It really does sound like a drag queen, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yes, a little bit. A little bit. All right. The trial of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, oh dear, has divided Democrats, as two powerful committee chairmen are backing the Obama administration's push for civil trials, while another high-profile Democrat is endorsing Republican calls for military tribunals. Why can't we keep it together on our side on just one subject?
There is no reason for this to be in a military tribunal. Why are they mad at Democrats for acting like Bush? I don't understand. When
Senator
Clinton became
Ben
a Republican,
Nelson.
They hated him, too.
Yep. Senator Ben Nelson has thrown his weight behind a bill that would strip funding for using civilian courts to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Why?
And other, because he's one of these conservative Dems.
He wants to shake down the White House for more money.
He joined Blanche Lincoln, Slowly I Turned.
Yes.
Pat Leahy and Dianne Feinstein wrote a letter to the president saying, we are writing today to endorse the use of our federal criminal courts to prosecute and bring terrorists to justice. We disagree with those who contend that our investigators, prosecutors, courts, and men and women who protect our courts and prisons are not up to the task of bringing these terrorists to justice. We should not let partisan distractions lead us to cast aside such valuable tools as the experienced terrorism interrogators of the FBI or forego convicting terrorists in our federal courts. We believe that whether such a trial is held in New York or another location, these men should be brought to justice in federal court. Hear, hear.
The criminal justice system is not for fighting the war on terror. The criminal justice system is to disproportionately lock up black men. Don't you understand this?
Black men are trying to sneak pot across the border in their Jesus picture.
Look, let's be, in my opinion, this trial, like all terror trials, should be done by an international criminal court.
Mm-hmm.
Do it all in The Hague because we're fighting international criminals. Right. We have not declared war as a country since 1941, the end.
Yeah, but what they're really pissed off about is that we didn't torture this guy. This kid is talking without being tortured. Damn it!
Damn it.
Making us all look bad.
You brought his parent in. What?
Makes it look like it's recreational torture. No!
All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Right Wing World is next.
It works on 24.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's the life of the Democratic Party. Ignore the lampshade. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Come on, 22 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We are in the midst of Fridays with Fugelsang. If you'd like to know about anything Fugelsangian, how might we find out that information?
You might go to my Twitter page or my Facebook page or the brand spanking new johnfugelsang.com. Up now in spite of popular demand.
You have a blog there now.
Thank you. I'd like to say that MTV dropping music television from its logo makes it official that MTV stands for nothing.
And you say that as an original MTV, or no, VH1 DJ.
It's the same salt mine, yes. I worked in the salt mines of Viacom, yes. I used to work at MTV Networks back when they hired executives who could spell the word music before they became the washed-up D-list loser in a hot tub network.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's just one step further in MTV's ongoing mission to stomp on rock's grave.
Sarah in Atlanta on John Mayer. Hey, Sarah.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to give you a little bit more justification for all the fun you're having at John Mayer's expense today.
Yes.
My uncle used to manage Eddie's Attic in Decatur, Georgia, where John Mayer played before he hit it really big.
Mm-hmm.
And he says anyone who has ever walked in there and known John Mayer beforehand will tell you he is the biggest douchebag jerk who ever lived.
Hey, he's got a hood pass. Watch what you say. Not a lot of white kids from Amherst get those.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Kev.
Good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Good morning, sir.
You know,
I know that you don't have a white supremacist like John Mayer, because we've shared an illicit love now for years.
Yes, indeed, and those colored ball jokes you made earlier, Stephanie, really, although when we met, you made crowded ball jokes for a week, so I shouldn't be surprised. But anyway, I'm a person of logic, basically, except for my ludicrous crush on you.
Yes.
So do you, with all the obstructionism and the other things Republicans are doing, do you think the corporate media is snowing me when they say that they actually have a chance? Are people that illogical that they would give them a chance after the crap they pulled the last 10 years, or is that just spin? Because it would seem impossible after all they've done, but, you know, there's Sarah Palin fans and things, so do you think that's possible?
Well, Ike, that's the thing. Do we have that bad a short-term memory that we just, they're the people that drove us in the ditch, and they're now going, let's step on the gas, and we're like, okay, that seems like a good idea.
But this is the problem. The more the media tries to be fair and balanced, the more they will ignore the fact that you're the people who were wrong about everything for 8 years because they need the ratings.
But why do we need the media? I mean, again, this just happened. We had 8 years of it. People can't be that crazy, can they?
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. That's why I was thinking that goofy billboard. That was like a goofy picture of him.
It can't be
from people that actually missed George Bush. I mean, seriously? Michelle in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Michelle.
Hi. I just wanted to counter the free market evangelist that you had at the top of the hour.
Yes.
What he failed to mention is that without regulation, free markets will always be dominated by people committing fraud, which is what Goldman Sachs did with AIG. Goldman Sachs defrauded the market by the derivatives that they sold. They kept telling everybody that it was all AAA, and they knew that it wasn't.
Right.
And they defrauded AIG when they got them to, provide insurance for them. They defrauded AIG when they required AIG would have to pay up whenever Goldman Sachs felt that the market was falling for these derivatives. So, I mean, Goldman Sachs defrauded everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, so your free market evangelist, without regulation, that's what happens to every free market, and that's why we need it.
Yep, thank you, honey. Good call.
And the history of the country is the aristocracy saying we should run everything without any interference. Go back to Alexander Hamilton. That's the ongoing struggle of our capitalist system. You know, I saw Sarah Palin on Chris Wallace over the weekend. He asked her if she was upset about AIG, and she said she doesn't listen to hip-hop.
Hey, they've finally gotten smart. The Arkansas Republican Party said no video or audio recordings will be allowed at the Verizon Arena when Governor Palin headlines a North Little Rock fundraiser Tuesday night.
Can we bring telephoto lenses to see what's written on her hand?
Like, they tend to make her look stupid.
Yeah, she
those devices when they record things that she says.
They asked her if she liked the Who's halftime show, and she said she enjoyed the tribute to all those CSI opening credits. So. God bless her.
Bill in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Bill.
Hi. You know, you need Alan Greenspan in your box.
I beg your pardon.
Well, every time
Andrea Mitchell might have something to say about that.
Yeah.
You know, every time somebody calls and asserts that, you know, the market will correct itself without government intrusion, you need to play them that tape of him admitting that he was wrong, assuming that the market would never act against its own self-interest. It always takes care of itself. Just let it be. And because that's all the argument the free market people always say is that if you just let it, you know, how that when they make money, then if it's not making money, they'll stop doing it. I don't think so.
Yep, absolutely. All right, honey, thanks for calling. By the way, on his radio show, Fox News host Glenn Beck argued the world's climate scientists should commit suicide.
What?
Because they've decided...
That's a bit tacky. Why would Glenn Beck say
talking
that?
About the whatever, because they decided themselves...
Well, technically he said Harry Carey, so they think they should be a baseball announcer.
Oh!
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping the Toyota president would do Harry Carey. It would have been a beautiful soundbite.
Get another old style! Cubs win!
You know, all you teabaggers, all I can say is, just remember this one thing. After the Tea Party years, eat the progressives and the minorities and the immigrants and the anti-war people and the gays and the trial lawyers. Educated Republicans, you're next. That's who they're going after next.
Oh, speaking of which, how about this? A Republican Senate candidate has compared embryonic stem cell research to what the Nazis did to the Jews.
But,
in another edition of really bad analogies.
Which is not hurting anyone.
And thanks for playing Really Bad Analogy.
As you know, President Obama issued an executive order to remove President Bush's limitations on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. Republican Senate candidate Curtis Coleman, Republican of Arkansas, said, blasted the decision in an interview yesterday comparing embryonic stem cell research to what the Nazis did to the Jews.
Oh, I hate when they put the embryos on trains. You know, folks, keep in mind and tell your Republican friends this. If you don't believe in using these embryos for research, you believe in flushing them and destroying them. Because that's what's going to happen.
And setting them on fire.
Thank you. 29 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Now, for that Valentine's Day gift, it's not too early for you to choose a bong.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour.
And now the rest of the story.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids?
Let's do it.
Gosh, Jim, Carl Rove still on the TV, not in prison, trading cigarettes for his life. Oh, well.
Oh, God.
Okay, it's how the White House is going after Sarah Palin, because...
I think they, they want to distract attention from their problems. And the economy is lousy, the stimulus ain't working, the health care bill is going nowhere, the Democrats are bitterly divided over it, there's a sense of drift in Washington about this administration. So when in difficulty, go after somebody else.
Four of the five things he said are Republicans' fault.
Yeah.
And, the fact that Robert Gibbs made a joke about her reading off her hand like everyone in the country means the Obama administration is just using her to try to distract.
Because
she makes a dope of herself every time she goes out in public. That's their fault.
It was very simple notes written on her hand. It was an arrow and the word ass and an arrow and the word elbow. Pointing out directions.
A simple diagram.
All it was. She needs to separate.
All right, Hannity on the Republican Party.
My attitude is if they stay true to their core values, this is a center-right country, and they campaign on those values, and they make promises that they really have to stick to, transparency, earmarks, fiscal responsibility, balanced budgets, I don't see how they could lose in this environment.
Well, because they didn't do that for 8 years, Sean.
Yeah.
So they're not really core values. They're nice words to say.
I love the whole center-right country, don't you, Jim?
So is it that Obama and the Democrats won in landslide?
The largest majorities in a generation and won by a landslide. Huh. I guess because we're a center-right country, so we wanted a socialist in office. Okay.
Well, exactly. And by the way, the same people who think that Obama's a socialist are the people who think Ann Coulter's a woman.
O'Reilly on the left.
They want to erode our personal freedoms in order to right what they consider wrongs brought about by capitalism.
Talking Points believes that will not happen. And the more exposure this quasi-socialism deal gets, the more Americans will reject it.
What's the quasi-socialism deal? I was not informed.
Well, it's socialism for the rich, Jim. Yep. That's what we have. You know, what's the beautiful thing is that capitalism will always fail for the same reason communism will always fail, human greed. Mm-hmm. You know, God's in charge, folks. They're all imperfect systems. It's never going to last. But as long as you want to keep calling him a socialist, start calling Jesus a socialist, too, okay? Because Jesus said pay your taxes. He drove the capitalists out of the temple. He said rich people could never get to heaven, and he never asked a leper for a copay. Socialist.
Exactly. O'Reilly, you know, you would think someone that had been caught in the midst of an embarrassing public sex scandal wouldn't talk about how he likes to go places to see naked people.
Carnival is a big deal, not only in New Orleans, but in Rio de Janeiro. Now, I'm a downer for Carnival, and it is a wild spectacle. And, you know, there are naked people running around, and that's just what they do, the karaokers do in Rio.
I didn't realize that falafel was a Brazilian treat. But
I went there on a clearly a fact-finding mission, and I was shocked to find...
I will never go down there again. You know, keep in mind, people against same-sex marriages tend to be trapped in lame sex marriages.
Hey!
The flavin.
All right, Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear, on the Christmas Day Bomber.
This administration is defending the action it took on Christmas because this is a president and people in his administration follow him who never admit error. So they want to relitigate to this question again and again. But in the court of public opinion, they are getting destroyed.
How dare this man? How dare he? For doing what Bush did. After they let the Republicans know on Christmas night they were doing it, for following the laws of the country.
Yeah. And by the way, the difference in the shoe bomber, they didn't get nearly as much information out of him as we've gotten out of this Christmas Day bomber. I mean, that's the thing people don't even point out. Not only was it handled in the same way, but better than the...
Look, the guy never should have been allowed on the plane. That's a legitimate Republican gripe. Someone in intelligence misspelled his name, and that's why he wasn't on the right list and was allowed to board the plane. That is the only thing they're allowed to complain about.
Yeah, exactly.
That and Krauthammer's bad die job.
Okay, exactly. Well, all right, that concludes our...
Welcome to the crypt. I've got a bone to pick with you.
He really does look like the crypt keeper.
Yeah. To borrow a phrase from Gore Vidal, he is a triumph of the embalmer's art.
John Fugelsang, you were talking about there's a study out?
Yeah, there certainly is. Well,
this
is a highly informal survey that was done by Esquire magazine. Perhaps you've heard of them. They did a very, very informal survey of 75 Republican leaders. They talked to high-profile politicos such as current and former members of Congress, former cabinet officials, state elected officials, county party chairmen, and GOP bigwigs. Now, again, they were all promised anonymity. Here's what the Esquire magazine poll found out. They asked them, what Republican would you expel from the party if you could? Number one, Olympia Snow with 30%. Number two, former Secretary of State Colin Powell. Tied for number two, Glenn Beck.
Wow.
15% of these Republicans would like to see Glenn Beck ousted from the party, and 7% did say Michelle Bachmann. Now, and I'm sorry, but losing Michelle Bachmann from the Republicans is like losing Snooki from Jersey Shore.
Right.
Then they asked them, which Republican do you want to see head the ticket in 2012? Only 12% said Sarah Palin. 13% said Paul Lente. A whopping, sizable 31% said Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's going to be the guy, folks. He's the guy to beat. And at the CPAC convention last year, Mitt Romney was the overwhelming favorite with 20% of the vote for the next president. Now, this is funny for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's CPAC, which is like Tupac, but they're the white thugs. secondly, he was number one at 20%, which means 4 out of 5 don't want him, and he's still the most popular guy they've got.
Right.
But Mitt Romney is the front runner for the Republican nomination. He's raising so much money even as we speak, and there is tape of him in a debate with Ted Kennedy in 94 saying, like Scott Brown, how pro-choice he really is.
So, oh, and pro-gay rights, remember?
Yeah. So start laying your traps right now. But Sarah Palin has to run, folks. She may be the only chance Obama has of getting reelected.
Oh, please, God.
But that's Esquire magazine. And the fact is, if 78% of Republican leaders, according to the survey, think Obama is a socialist, 78%, which means 22% aren't watching enough Fox News.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we were saying, Chris, particularly this, you used to live in Arizona, but it really is becoming Republicans eating their own. They're all the storyline is, oh, the Democrats are in such disarray. Look at this McCain race.
Yeah, McCain versus Hayworth. Hayworth has gone, well, he's always been really far to the right, but now he's gone into birther, tenther territory.
About John McCain getting caught in one hypocrisy after another. He's disavowing campaign finance reform.
Yeah, McCain is tacking really, really far, uncharacteristically to the right. He's going to lose votes because of that.
Yeah.
McCain has surrendered on every principle he ever held. Talk about a surrender monkey. Yeah. Barry Goldwater would be kicked out of this party at this point.
Oh, please. They wouldn't even let him close to getting in. Fox News host Glenn Beck's arch nemesis is progressivism. He calls the movement poison in our republic, has accused it of genocide. In addition to attacking Democrats, he often condemns Republicans he deems to be progressive, like John McCain. So Beck had Jim DeMint on his show and asked him if he would support his colleague John McCain in his primary fight against Hayworth. DeMint said, well, I'm not going to get involved in this race in Arizona. And if John McCain goes with the health care bill, I'll be his biggest opponent. And I think he knows that.
Wow. Jim DeMint wouldn't even stick up for John McCain.
No.
How have progressives been responsible for genocide? Did he
elaborate? Oh, he didn't elaborate. Jim, I thought that went without saying. I didn't even explain it.
If you own a dictionary and can read it, you'll know that liberal fascist is an oxymoron.
Yes.
Like hot ice, jumbo shrimp, holy war, or Jessica Simpson music. It doesn't exist. You cannot be a liberal and a fascist at the same time. You've ceased to be a liberal when you've done it.
Well, you know, you could be a liberal and a fascist if you have a jobs bill that includes reauthorization of the Patriot Act.
Ah.
Technically.
Now, tell me more, Vixen.
Well, Jim, Chris, I'm not exactly sure which jobs bill is which, but the original, because you brought this up, the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
And
For by Obama.
Yeah, but the jobs bill does contain a reauthorization of the Patriot
it does.
Act.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sneaky, sis.
This is what I get upset about is Democrats, whether it's these, we just talked about the ones that are, for military tribunals, because they get scared to death. You're going to get called weak on terror no matter what you do.
Yeah, you're right, Stephanie.
And it's just they get scared coming up into an election year that,
But the flip side of it all, keep in mind, is the so-called war on terror is a jobs bill. 30,000 more troops to Pakistan is a jobs plan, and all your tax dollars going to Blackwater is tax money going for jobs. War is business. You know, the military-industrial complex Eisenhower warned us about is a sizable part of our economy.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I finally saw Avatar, and I knew what you meant about thinking, I'm rooting for U.S. troops to die, but a lot of the listeners pointed out it was really Blackwater.
Yeah,
it wasn't
they say
ropes.
It briefly at the top of the film, but I think the film needed to make it a bit more. They were private contractors.
Yeah.
Well, Giovanni Ribisi character, I think he made it pretty clear that it was a company that was...
Yeah, but he got off the hook. It was the big, bad military guy who was the real villain, and Giovanni Ribisi got to live in the end.
Here's the main
thing
I got out of it, is I want to put my ponytail in my dog's tail so I can further bond with them.
You're gross.
So I can have the... You can't have Avatar dogs.
Your dogs were already that giant snow beast that got Luke Skywalker in Empire Strikes Back. You have Wampa dogs, is what you've got.
All right. The way I've been trying to get in shape in New York is getting dragged through Central Park by my dogs.
Hot.
However, now I'm getting serious, and I am taking the P90X challenge. I want you to take it, too. It is a home workout that includes strength training, cardio, yoga, you name it. You're always working your body from a different angle, so you don't get that overuse injury. You don't get that plateau that you hate. You're putting in the effort, and you're getting the results. How many of you have gym memberships that you don't use or exercise equipment that's just gathering dust? I'm going to take the P90X challenge. I challenge you to take it as well. I'm going to post my results online. We can go from soft to rock hard and ripped, no John Mayer jokes, in 90 days. By the time the weather warms up, we are going to be rocking it. P90X, it comes with a completely risk-free guarantee. Check this out. You can get the 90-day radio-exclusive in-home trial where you can try it for the full 90 days. If you are completely satisfied, return it for a refund. Why not? Why not?
I want a P90X.
That's a great deal.
Yeah.
I'm going to start mine this weekend. I can't wait.
Me too.
Yeah?
Yes. 800-509-9438. That's
800-509-9FIT.
That's 800. Sorry, Jim, please don't talk over the phone number. Our sponsors tend to hate that. 800-509-FIT, or go to my website, stephaniemiller.com. Click on the banner ad right now. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, the waning moments of Friday with Bugle Sang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, we are in the midst of Fridays with Fugelsang.
You're soaking in it.
You can find him on Facebook. Is it on the new Facebook or the new Facebook?
Well, I thought it was on the new Facebook, but now they put a new Facebook in my new Facebook, and I don't like all this change, folks. This is too much change for me. I'm an outraged American. I want my old Facebook back, okay? I can't find my little green patch. I got 19 which Saved by the Bell star quizzes are you to send out, and I can't find them. You know, this new Facebook makes me feel like a creationist, because I don't want to have evolution forced on me like this. I want to stay home alone with Facebook and socialize.
I'm Team Jen, according to John Mayer. I am so free everything.
I want my black and white Facebook with the rabbit ears.
Thank you. That's all I want. I want the old Facebook. Stop putting new Facebook in my new Facebook.
With aluminum foil on the top of the rabbit ears.
By the way, George Bush plans to salute the New Orleans Saints by flying over New Orleans and looking out the window today.
Yeah.
So watch
really?
For that. Because
you know.
They've had to delay the parade 2 days in a row because of bad weather.
I know.
If they delay it two more days, FEMA might arrive on time for it. So we're hoping.
Are you a Super Bowl guy? No.
I'm actually a member of a group called NFL Cad Lads. And that's non-football loving chaps admiring disregarded ladies all during Super Bowl. So while you macho tops are out there rooting for the men in the tight pants, I'm in the kitchen hitting on your girlfriends.
I tuned in just to watch The Who, but I ended up watching the second half. It was actually pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was a good game. Yeah.
I was rooting for New Orleans. So.
And The Who were good, too. Come on, The Who were fine. It's like, what's with the ageism, liberals? Stop it.
But they're the ones who sang, "I hope I die before I get old."
Well, half
there's
of them
that
did.
Thing. Well,
and they've been reanimated.
So, yeah.
Half it's like Avatar. They were brought back to life by the tree
and
people.
And two of them did die before they got old. So
exactly.
So
yeah, but the one who sang it didn't die before he got old.
Well, but he still looks young. There's Botox. Come on.
Oh, so speaking of entertainment, this weekend for me, I have to invite, you, and you always have to bring your wife, which is such a buzzkill on our dates. But
but she's the good-looking one.
I got invited to Fashion Week. Do you want to go?
Yeah, I want to go. I live with a designer, sure.
Oh, is she? Well,
yeah,
she'll love
designer.
This.
Great.
Okay. Which I think my tawdry self-esteem, my little tiny, is starting to get worse.
Okay.
I don't really want to go look at...
Why would that make your self-esteem worse than it already is?
I don't get it.
Especially when you're hanging out with me, which
you're
makes
not looking
you feel
at the
better
people.
About yourself.
Stephanie, you're not looking at the people. You're looking at the clothes.
What, anorexia makes you feel smaller? That's not how it's supposed to work.
It's just, you know, it's like, listen... We women have a lot of pressure as enough as it is looking at the, magazines and movies and TV growing
so
up.
Hang on a second now.
If you're a woman who feels like you get too much pressure, stop reading beauty magazines.
Yes,
exactly. You can't avoid it. It's not just magazines.
Stop reading
them. It's TV. It's movies.
This month
now I got to go see them in person.
This month in Cosmo, why men are slime and how to attract them.
Stephanie, cancel your subscription to Glamour, please.
No, don't do that. Actually, everyone needs to buy the new Glamour.
You got
to buy the new Glamour with Victoria Beckham on the cover because my brother's in it. My brother donated a kidney last year, and there's a whole article about how 11 people were saved by one mass kidney transplant. So Glamour this month.
My favorite article ever was in Cosmo, How to Exercise Your Love Muscles to Control Your Man.
Wow. I'm working my Kegels right now.
Buy me a fur coat or I'll snap it off. I don't know. There were little clues in there as to how to... I don't know. All right. So they called the snow, by the way, snowpocalypse. Did you see that?
It sounds a lot better than Avalanche-ageddon, which was the original choice for it. Like, is this really what we're going to be exploiting the apocalypse for? You know, is it a little bit of weather hyperbole, 2 days of inconvenience, and then it's,
Snowmageddon.
Where are the four snowmen of the snowpocalypse? You know, isn't like Heat Miser and Snow Miser supposed to have a 1,000-year war and all the white people disappear? I'm sorry.
But you know what? This weekend, the Florida Panhandle is expected to get a couple of inches of snow, and with that, there will be snow on the ground in some part of all 50 states.
Yeah, wow. Dallas, Texas, right?
Yeah.
Getting a ton of snow.
I was in the South last weekend. I was in Florida, and I brought a little child down to the canal to show him the fish, and there were dead fish everywhere. There have been alligators freezing in the Everglades.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's really been, I mean, my parents read about it, frozen turtles were found in their neighborhood. It's really, really terrible. And more proof that we need to remind people that climate change and global warming aren't the same thing.
Right.
Thank you. Now, I don't know if you flew down on one of those fancy American Airlines flights where they're now charging you $8 for a blanket.
Next they're going to charge you $8 to breathe recycled air, you know? I mean, first you can't check in with a person, okay? That's in the past. And then you have to, like, pay for a blanket. You have to pay to check in your bags. You know, I think they should pay us for every Ben Affleck movie they air. But since when? American Airlines can control the temperature in a cabin from the cockpit. So make the plane warmer instead of charging $8 for a blanket. This is just offensive, and Congress should do something, except they're not doing anything this week.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I hate? I actually, because I just flew. When you have frequent flyer miles, they still find a way to get you. They charged me like $50 because I didn't book it 3 weeks in advance or something.
$8 for a blanket is their way of literally fleecing the passengers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The fleece.
Just bring your own Snuggie.
Exactly, wear your Snuggie. But then, Jimmy, you got to take it off when you go through security.
That's why I'm designing the Snuggie Moo Moo. You can wear it all the time.
Australians' love affair with grog is so great they would rather give up sex, their car, and their friends before they would lay off the bottle for a month.
Grog? Bonza. They still call it grog
down
there?
Me too. I'm not giving up my hooch. They would rather give up. They would, when asked to choose, which would you guys give up for sex, their car, their friends, or booze?
Well, a lot of guys only have access to one of those four things.
I don't know.
Pay a second to save.
That would not be a hard choice for me.
Police have arrested a woman who claimed a white substance she was eating when she was pulled over was a powdered sugar donut after the material tested positive for cocaine. Good one!
John Belushi tried that.
Here's a little tip. Something might have been wrong. She was arrested when her vehicle hit a concrete highway barrier. Right away, that's a little tip off.
Donuts.
Perhaps you're not eating a...
Yeah.
Driving
under the influence of donuts. Clearly.
The only thing the South needs to secede from is high fructose corn syrup.
Yes.
We got into that discussion yesterday because Michelle Obama talking about childhood obesity.
Uh-huh.
And we were recounting all the snacks we ate and why we're not fat. People said because they were made with real sugar, not high fructose corn syrup.
Exactly. But it's exactly right. And we didn't get fat back then. And I think that it is a political issue to talk about high fructose corn syrup.
I did, Chris, and I did.
What?
I got fat. I was a fat kid.
Okay, but back then there was like one or two fat kids in a classroom, not half the class.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that's the point, since they've switched up the sweeteners on us because they didn't want to buy Mexican sugar. I mean, right now, Bill Clinton, ironically, has become a real health care success story. And
he used to eat hamburgers the size of hubcaps.
It's
a fun fact we learned this morning. All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Miranda, in for Rebecca Taylor, and, of course, John Fugel saying see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.